Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia, and joining me today is Lee Cantor. How are you today, Lee?
I am awesome. Fired up.
Good. That's great. Also with us is Brad Culp. Brad is in Dallas, Texas. Brad, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you today?
This morning. I don't think it's been less than 100 degrees in August yet, so... Hopefully you guys have a little cooler weather there, huh?
You know, we used to talk about the weather in Atlanta. It was the topic of the day. But since you've been in Dallas, we've kind of moved away from that.
Talk about the weather in Dallas.
That's exactly right.
So you must have a good tan, right, Brad?
You've been with all my free time.
Playing out by the pool a lot there?
The pool, yeah, drinking pina coladas.
At the lake. That's what Sam says that you're doing.
No? Yeah. Not hardly. So, did you see this media circus around Brett Favre last night or yesterday afternoon?
Now, did he decide to play or not play? What's the verdict?
Well, I don't think he would have, you know, flown in a private jet to Eden Prairie if he was going to tell him he wasn't going to play. But, you know, private jet and helicopters following the black BMW down the freeway. I mean, it had... you know, it was reminiscent of OJ. Really crazy media circus. But apparently, you know, the bottom line is he's got a 2-year contract, right? So, you know.
He's just showing up to work, right?
Contract.
That doesn't really mean anything in the sports world, I guess. You can break your contract if you want. But anyway, you know, I didn't think I had any trivia today. And my guest... here in Dallas, actually gave me a piece of trivia. So here it is. How many neck bones, cervical vertebra, does a giraffe have?
Oh, a giraffe.
16. 4.
The answer is 7, just like you and me. They're just big ones.
Wow.
I got it right, Brad.
You said 4.
No, I said 7. You can ask him, maybe.
I'm sure I heard you say 4.
That was me. He had help from our guest.
Oh, well, there you go. The guests, maybe we should let the guests do the trivia from now on.
Exactly. They're smarter than us.
All right. Well, we have got 3 terrific guests this morning. In Dallas, we have Cheryl Akers with Comprehensive Care Management. And in Atlanta, we have Christine Truitt from Gentiva Home Health and Ron Porter from the Backstore. I would like to welcome you all this morning. Thank you for being here. And we're going to go ahead and get started with Cheryl here in Dallas. And Cheryl Akers, Comprehensive Care Management. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning, and I appreciate you coming in to be with us for a few minutes this morning. So, Cheryl, why don't we, before we dive into what it is you do with Comprehensive Care Management, give us a little bit of background. Tell us where you're from and where you went to school and how you came to be involved with seniors.
Well, basically, I'm a registered nurse. I've been a registered nurse for far too many years than I care to relate, because if I tell you how many years, I'll have to tell you, it'll tell you how old I am. I'm also a certified case manager. I was born and raised in Canada and schooled in Canada as well, which included nursing school. And then I transitioned to the States, took the leap from Canada down to New Orleans because I couldn't get a job nursing up in Canada. There were too many nurses at the time. And so landed in New Orleans and worked in a hospital there, and then eventually transitioned over to Dallas, where I've done a lot of different things, including home health care, workers' comp. But I started my case management career basically working in the home health arena doing Medicare home visits. We were called case managers, but basically what we were doing is making sure all the members of the healthcare team were aware of what's going on and making sure that nothing was falling through the cracks for each of the patients that we worked with. While I was doing that, I was the nurse educator for the home health agency I was working for. I was there for almost 4 years, and then I took a leap and decided to truly get into case management and start working, as some people say, on the dark side for the insurance world. I started working for a company called Intracore, managing catastrophic healthcare cases all over the country, and absolutely fell in love with it and decided this is truly what case management is all about, and this is where I need to be. While I was doing home health care visits, I worked with a lot of seniors, and, you know, as I progressed through my case management career, I actually came across an attorney I was working with who suggested I should be doing this on my own. She said I was far too good to be working for somebody else. You need to take the leap and go on your own. Eventually, I got there, and I've had my own company now for just over 4 years, because there's such a need with seniors to get care coordinated and help the families understand what's going on and kind of bridge all the gaps that many times occur in the healthcare field. Because of my training and background, I can work with any age group. It does not necessarily have to be a senior. I've had clients as young as 25 with my business. But, you know, the need is always there. Healthcare is very fragmented, and not everybody understands the language. So my job is to interpret and kind of make sure everybody's singing the same song out of the same book.
So going off on your own had to be a little bit scary. How did you kind of make that leap? How did you finally decide this is it and I'm going to go for it?
Well, one of the things that happened, I've been working for this a managed care organization for over 6 years, and because I'm licensed here in Texas, I have what we call a nursing compact license, which allows me to actually practice in a total of 24 states, which includes Texas. The problem is, if I'm telephonically case managing a client in a state where my license is not valid, I'm at risk of losing my license, as well as if there's a malpractice situation, my malpractice insurance would not be effective. And the company I was working for did not really want to hear that, even though it's a growing issue and it's coming more to the forefront. And I just said, I need to protect myself, because I've wanted to be a nurse ever since I was 5 years old, and I will not jeopardize my nursing license for anyone else.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that kind of pushed you out of the nest?
It pushed me out of the nest and into the fire, maybe. I'm not sure what it is, but it's been a great adventure. It's been a great learning experience. I've never had my own business before. And there's a great sense of reward I get in being not only able to manage my own business, but bring value to the clients and the families that I work with. Mm. There's so many times I hear I don't know what to do. I don't know what they're telling me. The doctors give me answers, but they don't explain them. I don't know if that's the best choice for me. I don't know what to do with my mom. She's getting worse. My dad's really sick. They told me he needs to go to a nursing home. I don't know. And it's all this I don't know, I don't know. And then they say, I don't know the questions to ask, which has been a reverberating phrase that I've heard from clients and patients throughout my nursing career. Well, I don't know how to talk to the doctor. I don't know what questions to ask them.
So how do you go about helping a family? And do you provide concrete advice, or do you kind of guide them through the process of discovering it themselves, or a little bit of both? How does that work?
It's a big combination of both. My first and foremost goal is to advocate for the client that I'm working with. And the client is the one person that is needing the care, whether it's the mom, the dad, the elderly aunt, the husband, the wife, whoever it is. At the same time, I need to take into consideration all the information that's being provided to me by the potential caregivers, i.e. the adult children, power of attorney person. I mean, I need to figure out first and foremost who are all the players are, who's involved and who's kind of involved and who's really not involved. By doing a complete assessment from the get-go, figuring out what are the health conditions, what's the current status, what are the potential needs, then yes, I can make concrete recommendations to the family to say, you know, here's a type of service that may be of benefit, here's a piece of equipment that may be helpful, you may need to look at home modifications. I do a lot of healthcare teaching as well. People don't truly understand their medical conditions, and doctors, unfortunately, as brilliant as many of them are, they don't have the time to sit down and explain how your heart really pumps and how it affects how your lungs work, especially if your lungs aren't working well. My job is to educate, so if people understand what's wrong with them to a better degree, they may take better care of themselves. So there's a lot of, here's some resources, here's some ideas, but also how do we get to the next level to ultimately get the best outcome in the safest and the most timely manner for that person that's needing the care given to them, and then ultimately who's going to pay for it and how's it going to get paid for. Because unfortunately people still think Medicare will pay for non-medical home care, they'll pay for all kinds of equipment, they'll pay for... No, that's not the case. Medicare is like any other health insurance plan. They have limits on what they will cover. They will cover services that are related to health care needs being provided by professionals and licensed professionals.
Wow, my head's spinning. And your job description is quite broad.
It is. I mean, people don't understand their insurance. I've even explained what the explanation of benefits really means. You know, those forms you get from your health insurance, Medicare sends them out as well. And this is what an EOB, or explanation of benefit, really means. And here's what a deductible is. Here's what an out-of-pocket is. Because, again, I can work with any age group because of my training and background. As a certified case manager, you have to work under another certified case manager for up to 2 years before you can actually even apply to sit for this national certification. During that time, you're expected to understand and learn about workers' comp, Social Security. You have to understand about HMOs, PPOs, EPOs, POSs, all those group health and plans. You have to understand Medicare. You have to understand short- and long-term disability as well.
Mm.
And then when you write the exam, hopefully you pass it the first time. And then you're required to do continuing education every 5 years for your recertification. So it's simply not a certificate, it's a certification. Big difference.
So there are a number of geriatric care managers practicing. Not all of them are certified, and you bring a slightly different perspective to your business. Tell me how you're different than some other geriatric care managers that are practicing.
Yeah. Well, the term geriatric care manager is really related to you're a care manager and you're working in a geriatric environment. It is not a credential. It is a membership in an association. This association has started mandating credentialing, but the credentialing is from the outside bodies. I've got one of the credentials that they're now mandating, that's actually one of the tougher ones. So the term geriatric care manager is just kind of a generic term. A lot of them are social workers. Some of them have their master's in gerontology, so they're not licensed professionals like a social worker or a nurse is. They may have a degree in psychology. You know, it's kind of all over the place. You can check out some of the information on caremanager.org to see who's who, but there's multiple categories of care managers.
So in your case, you're coming at it from a more medical perspective because you're a nurse and you have the ability to evaluate medical conditions.
You bet.
I guess the clients, in some ways, when they start looking for some help, it's important to understand, you know, is the help they need more administrative in nature or is it more medical in nature?
Well, you know, when you look at the seniors, there's probably not one senior that's on at least 4 or 5 different prescriptions.
Mm.
Therefore, they have some kind of medical condition. It may be well controlled. They may be having high blood pressure, but their high blood pressure is controlled by medicines. They could be diabetic. They could be having congestive heart failure. Again, it may be controlled by medications. But it's usually a lot of the healthcare issues that drive seniors to seek other assistance, whether it's care providers coming into the home, they need to move to assisted living because they're no longer physically able to care for themselves, administer their medications, et cetera. They may have had a health event requiring hospitalization that's really made them decline more significantly. So, you know, the healthcare issues are always there. It's just how stable are they, and do they know what's going to happen if that should flare up or they get into trouble?
Right.
So that's where I kind of say, hey, what if this would happen? What if that would happen? And unfortunately, or fortunately as the case may be, I've recently had two clients that did have a history of congestive heart failure. One of them was actually in a nursing facility. One was at home being seen by home health care, and I picked up on both of them that they were in congestive heart failure, notified the physician and appropriate staff. They had medications adjusted. They were kept out of the hospital. And that's my goal, you know, not necessarily to keep everybody out of the hospital, but if we can nip something in the bud and be proactive about
right.
their care needs, hey, that's a bonus not for me, but it's for the bonus
family,
for the patient, the family.
Yeah.
A Medicare deductible for a hospital admission is $1,100. Especially if you've been out of the hospital for more than 60 days.
Significant. Tell me what two questions here. What is the most common thing that you deal with your clients? And then when you jumped in and started doing this business yourself, what's the most surprising thing that you discovered going into this business on your own?
Wow, good question. The most surprising thing, I think, was the lack of education about care management in general. I pretty much knew that already because even when I worked for the insurance companies, I'd tell people, I'm a case manager, I'm here to help coordinate the care needs and talk to you, et cetera. And they'd be, what? And that has continued into the private sector. But I guess on top of that, even the senior care providers are not always that knowledgeable about care management and how we can help them do their job
right.
better by helping the seniors again and sure. even helping the care providers.
Okay. Do you have some kind of story for us about someone that you've been able to make an impact on?
Yeah, I have multiple stories, but one story that's very near and dear to my heart, I was working with a family. Lady was in her mid to late 90s, and she had one adult child who lived out of state, and she had had multiple health issues through the years, but was just as funny as all get out. And she was in the hospital for a specific problem, and she was actually getting worse with about 5 different physician groups looking at her, and I was the one that raised the bar, so the physician started doing something a little bit differently because she was actually declining day by day. I actually ended up getting her out of the hospital. One of the physicians didn't understand why she was still there, and he wanted to keep her through the weekend. He thought her heart was a problem, and the nurse said, no, it's not. So she called the physician, and we got her out of the hospital 3 days early. Because she was ready to go. The discharge had been planned for that day already, but he thought there was something going on, but he didn't understand, I guess, what the nurse was telling him, because for a lot of different reasons. And I said, no, this is not what she said. So I actually coordinated that, and unfortunately she later passed away, and I went to the funeral home, and the family introduced me as part of the family.
Oh, wow. So my next question was going to be, why do you do what you do? And I guess that kind of answers that.
That kind of nips it in the bud. Once the families realize what I can do and that we get some results, I can't tell you how many times, I wish I had known you earlier. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have had to get to this point. I wish I had known you when my other parents-in-law were going through
right.
stuff. You know, it's pretty phenomenal. So it's extremely rewarding because when people get the help that they need, the stress levels go way down in a very, very difficult and stressful situation. The adult child often has to change the role and become the parent, and the parent now has to become the child, which mm-hmm. is difficult all the way around. And my job is to make that as smooth as possible, be the objective third party, and I just tell everybody, hey, if you want to blame somebody, blame me and say it's all her fault. And if we can get to the best result for everybody, then that, then I've won the game.
That's great. So for our listeners, if there is somebody that is struggling with a particularly thorny issue, what piece of advice might you give them as they try to deal with the issues of aging and handling the changes in their life?
A lot of times I recommend that they seek the help of a care manager, because we go to school to learn to be an accountant. We go to school to learn to be a physician. We go to school for a lot of things. We plan to get married or plan not to get married. We plan to buy a house. We never plan or get taught how to take care of our aging loved ones. We never really get taught even how to plan for our own aging processes. Yes, you may make a will, but what is that? You know, that's only one key element to part of the aging process. You try to save money so that you can plan for your old age, but what's that money going to buy, and what is it going to prepare for? So, you know, when there's a thorny issue, or even before the thorny issue, consider getting a care manager involved. Know who that care manager is, what their credentials and background and training is, but have them help you set up a plan before that thorny issue actually arrives. Again, it's that proactive approach, because if you have a plan in place and the crisis raises its head, then you're a little bit more prepared for it, and it's not such a crisis. It's not always easy, but it's not going to be as difficult if you've got some of the tools in place.
Right. Sounds like there's an underlying theme there of planning. And, mm-hmm. and thinking through things in advance and then seeking out the advice of experts.
Right. Yeah, because you think you may be doing the right thing, and you may well be, but you don't know what you don't know a lot of times. So you may be saying, I've got A, B, and C covered, but you don't know that there's a D, E, F, and G. And if you don't know it's there, then you can't anticipate it and prepare for it appropriately.
It's that freshman syndrome all over again.
Yes, exactly.
So thank you, Cheryl. How can our guests reach you should they want to get more information about you or your organization?
I do have a website. It's texascasemanager.com. That's txcasemanager.com. Because I am a Texas case manager, and it's sometimes easier to remember that than my company name, which is Comprehensive Care Management. That company name can be Googled. I can be Googled. I've been a member of the Case Management Society of America forever. I've been on the board. I'm also located at caremanager.org. I can be reached by phone at 972-446-4789, which is my cell phone, which is usually attached to my hip most every minute of the day.
Wow, you're brave to give out your cell phone on the air.
Oh, well, you got to live once, you know. I like the risk.
Very good. Well, Cheryl, thank you again for being with us this morning. And Sam, I'm going to turn it over to you with our guests in Atlanta.
Great. And thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brad. Thank you, Cheryl, for being with us. It was great information. Joining us today in our studios in Atlanta are two guests. The first is Christine Truitt. Christine is a nurse and a clinical account executive with Gentiva Healthcare. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning.
Also joining us is Ron Porter. Ron is a physical therapist by education and a director of Back School of Atlanta. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Let's begin with you, Christine. Why don't you just begin by introducing yourself, telling us a little of your background, where you're from, and how did you become a nurse with Gentiva?
Okay. Good morning again. Well, I've been a nurse for a lot of years. We won't say how many. I'm originally from Augusta, Georgia, mm-hmm. home of James Brown, and I went to school in Augusta. I went to a school called Augusta Tech, and uh-huh. then I went to the University of South Carolina, which is right across the river in Aiken, South Carolina. And I started off working in the hospital. I worked in a hospital back in the olden days. And I came into home health in the early 80s, and I fell in love. I fell in love with the patients. I fell in love with being able to make a difference. And I've been in home health 20-plus years and a nurse long time.
You almost gave it away. Christine, interesting
statement there that you started off in the hospitals and then you went to home health and you loved it. What are the differences and why do you like home health so much?
Well, in the hospital, as you know, now it's such a rapid turnover. People are in and out, and you don't get to know them. In home health, you are in their arena. You go into someone's home, and they're in control. So you're like a visitor, and you've got to learn, you know, their quirks and the do's and the don'ts. And so sometimes you become like a member of the family, and that's what I loved. I love becoming a member of their families.
It's very personal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us, Christine, what it is that you and Gentiva, what services you bring to the public.
The services we bring to the public, we send nurses into the home. We send physical therapists into the home, like Ron. We send speech therapists, occupational therapists, and home health aides. We go in, of course, with a doctor's order, and we take care of the patients in their home. I tell people in a nutshell, we do everything in the home these days except give chemo and blood. Our nurses administer IV medications. They administer infusions. So we do a lot. And so we're able to get people up and moving and get them out of their homes.
Was there a particular situation that spurred you to move from the hospital to a home home care arena, home health care arena?
Well, I think the situation was in my hometown. I don't know how much you all know about Augusta, but in my hometown in the inner cities, I was looking for some place to make a difference. And I met a lady. Her name was Charity a long time ago. And Charity always sat on her front porch. And I was able to find out just what was going on with her. And she said, you know, a nurse comes here and a nurse changes my bandage. And I was like, wow, I'd like to do that. And that's how I started in home health. I applied with the company in Augusta called Health Help Systems. Mm-hmm. No longer exists, mm-hmm. but that's how I started. And Miss Charity was the catalyst.
That's interesting. Tell us about Gentiva. What makes it unique? What differentiates it from the rest of the competition?
Well, I think a couple of things. We have become a senior focused company. Our focus is on the seniors, and we just completed a humongous acquisition. And so we are focusing on taking care of people for the rest of their lives. We have a hospice company, and so we take care of people in their home while they need maybe services after a hip or knee surgery. And then if they get progressively worse or if they need to transition, one of my coworkers said a higher level of skilled care, then we're able to transition them into our hospice program.
And is the hospice program Gentiva Hospice? What's the name of that program?
For right now, it's Gentiva Hospice.
Okay. All right. All right. Tell us a little bit, if you can, what are the unique situations in a senior-focused company versus a home health care company that is out doing general practice?
Well, I think with a senior-focused company, we focus on the disease management. As you know, as we get older, I heard Cheryl talking about some of the things that we have going on. We are focusing on disease state management programs, such as we've got a joint and knee program. Mm-hmm. We have a balance program, and I think the balance program is phenomenal because we don't just deal with the musculoskeletal system. We're dealing with other issues that cause people to fall, such as low lighting. One of the first things we do is we give people a nightlight. And so we have specially trained therapists that deal with that balance program. So I think that's just one of the things that differentiates us.
Is there any other kind of low-cost tips like that you would have for the senior? Like the nightlight, that seems like an obvious thing that's, you know, wow, why didn't I think of that? Just, you know, a few dollars to get a nightlight and you solve a problem. Is there any other things you found that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. With the seniors, believe it or not, something as simple as getting rid of your throw rugs, mm-hmm. your scatter rugs. If you're not going to get rid of them, you need to get the tape that sticks to both sides so that when you stand at the sink, you don't slip down and fall and break a hip.
Christine, let me ask you this question. How many times have you suggested that the individual, the client, remove or change their throw rugs and you've been given a dirty look? I can tell you that's
many times. That's why you need the tape that sticks on both sides.
I've lost a few clients at that point.
Yes.
Why? They're very attached to their throw rugs?
Absolutely. It's their home. And that's the thing you have to remember going mm-hmm. into to see them, that this is their kingdom.
That's right.
And you're not going to mess with it. And the best you can do is very diplomatically suggest.
That's why we have therapists to do that stuff.
Christine, tell us, obviously, you said several times that you've been a nurse for many years. You've come out of the acute facility setting into the home care. I know you said that it was a personal, but what is it that recharges your batteries? I mean, I do know. This is what I do. You know that. You go out and you see some very, very difficult situations at times, situations that you must accept. What is it that keeps you going?
Being able to do the little things. And I guess I'll have to give you an example. Mm-hmm. We did an in-service at a senior high-rise last week. There was a lady that had a wheelchair that was inappropriate for her. It didn't have something as simple as elevating leg rests. Mm-hmm. She had a brace on her whole lower leg. I was able to get on the phone, call a company, get her a wheelchair out there the very same day. It's the little things like that keeps me going. Not the major, the little.
Yeah, I.
But those are big things for the client.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Absolutely. You don't know how much satisfaction and joy you bring to someone's life by, as you just said, dressing the little things mm-hmm. because they think they know that you care. Yeah, absolutely. That's
and great. Also, you're solving a problem that's annoying to them 24/7. Like, yeah. It's like a little irritation to them that's just bugging them and bugging them and bugging them. And then there you go and make it go away. It might be one phone call, but to them, that was an irritant that was bothering them every single day of their life.
Yeah,
you're so right. Yeah.
Christine, I'm going to. You just told us one situation. I'm going to ask the question again. Is there another heartfelt story that you might be able to tell us that our listeners would be interested in?
Yes. I guess my most heartfelt stories go back to when I was a nurse in the field. There was a lady in my hometown when I was doing visits. Her name was Fanny. And no matter what time I went to her home every day, she always said, "I need to go to the restroom." And I sat there and I thought, what is going on here? And so finally, it occurred to me that was her way of being in control. That was her way of having me there so that we could visit, because if we didn't go to her home, nobody went to her home during the day. So I would just go in and I would sit and let her. She'd say, "I've got to go to the bathroom." I said, "Okay." And I would just sit there and let her have that control and sit there and visit with her. And she was still in her home in her 80s. And that made me feel so good that I was able to allow her to do that. I was able to make a difference in her life by visiting with her. Simple things again.
Yeah, the idea that you do not take away control from the individual, mm-hmm. but you're giving them control to stay in their own environment, to live where they want to live. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to overcome when you go in. That's a great piece of a great story. Tell us, Christine, for our listeners, if we have those out there that might be seeking some type of skilled care in their home, what piece of advice might you give them as they begin the process to try to wade through all the information?
and it is a lot of information. What, since we've become such a technical society, believe it or not, you can find information on the internet about home care. And with my company, not plugging Gentiva, but you can go in and you can Google and you can find information, because it is a lot. And I heard the young lady earlier saying people just don't understand. Mm-hmm. And it is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling for me to keep up. So just start with the internet and to see how much you can find. And also you can call Medicare, and they can give you some information also and direct you. Call the Centers for, CMS, the Centers for Medicare Services.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And if our listeners would like to reach you or reach out to Gentiva, how can they do that?
I'm not brave enough to give out my phone number.
Come on. I've got your cell phone number. I'll give it out.
But you can reach me. It's Christine, and that's Christine with a C, truitt@gentiva.com. And I always answer my emails, so you can reach out to me like that.
And the website's gentiva.com?
Yes, it is.
We appreciate that. Thank you, Christine.
You're welcome, Sam.
Our next guest is Ron Porter. As I mentioned earlier, Ron is a physical therapist by education, and he's a director of Back School of Atlanta. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning, Sam.
And I wanted to clarify that Back School of Atlanta. It was misspoken earlier as we did the introductions. Ron, why don't you begin by telling us a little of your background, and then how did you get to the Back School, and what do they do?
Well, and the way I got into physical therapy is I was in college and my father was involved in an accident.
Mm-hmm.
And it left him sort of crippled up. He had a leg problem. And I noticed that the physical therapist had a huge impact on returning him back to the ability to do what he wanted to do. And so it was a professional career, but it also involved dealing with people and activity. And I always liked to be very active physically. And so I went to the University of Tennessee to undergraduate school. I came here to Atlanta, Georgia, to Emory, to the physical therapy program. I got a graduate degree in physical therapy a number of years ago. My first job was actually working in a variety of settings similar to some of the ones that Christine and Cheryl have been discussing. I liked it a lot, but one of the things that I also recognized is a lot of the things that physical therapists deal with are preventable.
Mm-hmm.
And so ergonomics, which is what the Back School of Atlanta does, is trying to make people more comfortable so that they can perform their jobs or do their daily activities. All of us are different sizes and shapes, but most of our environments are one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
Another example, I'm left-handed. Most of our tools are made for right-handed mm-hmm. people, so you certainly wouldn't want a left-handed surgeon doing, you know, surgery on you with right-handed scissors. So it's, you know, really ergonomics is more common sense, but we frequently focus on the problem a lot of times or the job that we want to accomplish. We don't really look at the environment. And our objective is to try to match the individual with their environment so that they're ultimately very comfortable.
Now, I know I was on the back of your card, you have the word ergonomics and you have a definition there. And in that definition, at least on the surface, relates to a work or environment. Does this ergonomics move beyond the work environment into other arenas such as home, play?
Oh, certainly. The work environment is certainly a big issue because we want people to be productive and injury-free. But usually we focus more, our home activities are the areas where a lot of times we look at the chair that we sit in or, maybe the lack of having a ladder available to get something down off of a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
We make do at home. We're in a work environment. The employer usually tries to provide you with the best tools available. And so, all of us spend time at home regardless of our age. And one of the things that we've recognized is that there are certainly things that we can do to make people feel more comfortable in their environment, whether it is work or home.
Tell us, Lee asked Christine this question, what are some of the other simple suggestions that you can do in the home to make it more comfortable and safe for the elderly? And I saw you nod your head vigorously. Right. So why don't you tell us what some of your thoughts are?
Well, the lighting issue is a big issue in any environment, not just in the bedroom. As we get older, our vision starts to decrease. And one of the things, if you've got poor vision and you've got poor lighting, you may mistake a color change on the floor as a step, mm-hmm. and it would trip you or fall you. So you want to make sure that you've got adequate lighting in all areas of your home. Mm-hmm. In your chair, it could be, if the chair is adjustable, actually yesterday I instructed someone on how to adjust their chair by phone. I'd never done that before. It was quite interesting, but we sit in a chair, and there are things that we can do to make them more comfortable. A pillow at the back to decrease the depth of the chair. If you're petite, mm-hmm. Your feet may not touch the floor, mm-hmm. and so particularly if you're an individual with circulation problems, you don't want the back of the chair pressing into the leg. So if the depth of the chair is not adjustable, you change it by placing a pillar pad at the back of the individual to move them forward. I went into an industrial environment one day where I'd noticed a lady had taped bubble wrap to the back of her chair. Mm-hmm. She says, "Well, I don't have money to buy a pillow." And I used to tell them to maybe remove them from Delta Airlines, which is probably illegal. But now, unfortunately, there are no pillows on the airline. Right. I guess we took them all. You know, I guess that's where they disappeared to. But, you know, very simple things. A box under your feet for a footrest. Most of us work at computers right. today. And one of the issues that I see with an individual that starts to develop visual issues is they're wearing bifocals. Mm-hmm. And if a monitor is placed at a certain position to read through the bifocal, they need to tilt their head right. back. It creates a lot of neck discomfort. So maybe just placing a ream of paper underneath the monitor to raise it up a little bit so it puts it in a more comfortable position mm-hmm. for them would be an alternative, an ergonomic solution for that.
Are you seeing any impact of the obesity epidemic? Has that impacted your work at all?
Oh, definitely. I went in to do an evaluation. It was in a work environment. The gentleman, probably in his mid-50s, was sitting, instead of facing the work area, he was sitting at a 90-degree angle, trying to work at a computer keyboard. When he sat directly facing it, because of his stomach, he couldn't reach the keyboard. Mm-hmm. And so he was sitting at a perpendicular angle. His back had started to hurt. And I asked the supervisor, I said, "Did you not notice that this gentleman was sitting at a peculiar sure. angle?" He said, "Oh, I just thought he was strange." And so a lot of times, you know, we don't look for the root cause.
Right.
Ergonomics is basically what we want to do is someone complains of discomfort or fatigue at the end of their workday. What's the root cause? If it's your legs and feet, maybe you need inserts in your shoes. Yeah. Or as a physical therapist, we can always show you some exercises to do.
Now, is there something I've seen a lot of? I was just at the airport the other day, and I was watching this lady, and she was extremely overweight. And to get in and out of the chairs they had there, it was work for her. Is there stuff you can do as a physical therapist to either encourage them to lose weight, or do you do that, or is it more you just kind of adapt to where their situation is at that moment?
Well, we would do both. Certainly you want to address the issue immediately so that the person is as functional and as independent as possible. And you can provide them with chairs. Some chairs will
that
elevate.
Lift, right.
Exactly. But, you know, ultimately, the weight gain may be a result of arthritic conditions. And so you need to make sure that that you place him on the proper exercise program.
Right. But is that where your work to just solve the problem in the state that they're at, or is your work to help them you know, kind of improve their situation?
Well, we would offer them both short-term and long-term solutions. Uh-huh. This is what we can do today to make you more comfortable. These are our goals or objectives, or right. I like to call them opportunities for improvement.
Uh-huh.
Regardless of our age, we can increase our flexibility, our muscle strength, our coordination, our balance. And all of those have impact on risk of injury or your inability maybe to perform an activity or enjoy the activity
right.
that you do. If you're in pain, you know, you're not as productive and you're certainly, you know, more prone to, you know, not do things which could lead to further weight gain.
Sure.
Ron, let's. I certainly, and I think you've developed the case well about the workplace and how this applies in the workplace. Let's move to the home environment, the home
okay.
environment that specifically applies to the seniors. Is there one particular thing in that environment relating to seniors that they can do that you would think would might be a silver bullet, so to speak? Is there one main issue you see on a day-in, day-out basis with seniors in their home?
Well, I think primarily the biggest issue we address in ergonomics is posture.
Okay.
And so for seniors, certainly one of the things that the big issue is static postures. When our bodies are static, the blood flow is decreased. You can actually occlude blood flow or decrease it by about 60%. And so even if you're in pain, one of the things that we try to encourage seniors to do is make sure that they move and they change postures frequently. You know, even if it, Christine was talking about the leg support on the wheelchair for mm-hmm. the individual, that's an excellent recommendation. But you also want to make sure that the person moves that leg occasionally as well to speed circulation and improve the healing process for them.
Would you recommend to the elderly as a general statement that regardless of their physical condition, they need to do something? Would that be an adequate statement?
Most definitely. And we always, you know, we're always looking for things that they want to do, because that is, if we want to do something, it gives us a goal or an objective. And, you know, I always try to sit with any individual, senior or any age, and discuss their goals and objectives and try to identify things that we can help to facilitate that. So, you know, maybe Christine mentioned going to the restroom for mm-hmm. the individual.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember an elderly lady that I went to provide physical therapy for a number of years ago, and she was about 400 pounds, and I was about 150 pounds, and she looked at me, and she started to laugh. She says, "You think you can get me out of this bed?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am, I can." And she says, "How are you going to do it?" I said, "What do you want to do?" And she said, and I said, what are your goals and objectives?" And she says, "I want to go to the bathroom again." She says, "I'm tired of that bedpan."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "So that's what we'll work on." As the other two ladies have related, I became a member of their family. I went to birthday parties, and you know, you can make some wonderful relationships with people through providing them with the services that we do in health care.
How do you deal with the person, like when you give them, you know, they say they have a goal, and you say, okay, we have to do A, B, C, and D to achieve that goal. How do you keep from being frustrated and help keep them compliant when it seems like the road is so difficult?
You break it down into very small steps that are achievable. Today, maybe, you know, we get you to lift your legs in bed. Tomorrow, we sit up on the side of the bed. Tomorrow, we, you know, the day after that, we stand up. But, you know, all of us want to see progress. You mentioned earlier weight loss, and that weight gain doesn't occur overnight. Weight loss doesn't occur overnight. Posture change doesn't occur overnight as well. Pain reduction doesn't occur. You know, with our ergonomic solutions, we improve the environment to try to make people more comfortable. But sometimes when we do ergonomics, we aggravate other parts of their body. One thing that we teach people in body mechanics is to use their legs for lifting. Mm-hmm. Well, that may not be possible for an elderly person or even a younger person with knee problems. So you eliminate one issue, you create another one. And But to answer your question directly, you know, break it down into small achievable steps and show people progress. And, you know, I like to document with them as well, maybe drop a form where it says today we'll do this and then we check that off and tomorrow we'll do that and we check that off. Mm-hmm. Shows them that when you come in and they're depressed someday and they say, well, yeah, I'm not doing well today. I said, yeah, but look at how far you've come. You've been able to do this right. and this and this.
Now, what about a lot of times people's objectives they might think that they would like one thing, but then they get other ancillary benefits. Do you spend a lot of time, like, for example, if they say, okay, I would like to lose weight because it'll help me do these things, well, maybe they're not losing weight as fast as they would like, but maybe they're having more energy or they're sleeping better. They're having some outcomes that are positive, but their eyes are kind of on the wrong ball, and you got to kind of educate them that maybe there's benefits here that you're not appreciating.
Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of this, we're all different sizes and shapes, and I think we've been sold on a mentality that we should all look a certain way and be a certain age. And as I've aged, I've started to recognize that isn't always possible. I think the biggest benefit from anything in physical therapy that we do, the exercise or the posture or providing them with an ergonomic product solution, is that it does increase the person's self-esteem or feeling of enjoyment in their life. Exercise, if you look at studies on fitness and exercise, one of the huge benefits is that it provides you with endorphins that make you feel better psychologically as well as physically. I personally go to a gym trying to fight off old age as long as I can or at least maintain myself at a certain level of function. I've got a friend, he's always telling me, he says, well, I don't know why you go to the gym, it doesn't show. And I said, well, it shows on the inside. You know, it makes me feel better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think when people are able, something that most of us might not think would be a victory, but just being able to lift your leg up off the bed can be a victory to someone. And, you know, we celebrate that. And, you know, the physical activity also has physiological benefits for them as well.
Well, I think you just gave us our answer to the next question, and that is, what piece of advice can you give people like me, people who are sitting, I'm in my car probably, who knows, 8 hours a day. I don't exercise the way I want to and the way I used to. What piece of advice can you give our listeners that will help improve their physical well-being?
I would imagine that the piece of advice that I would give anyone is to try to do more. And what I mean by that is, if you're in your automobile, change the position that you're in. If 8 hours a day, change the position that you're in. If it's a mechanical seat, pull the lever and recline the back a little bit. If you're sitting in a stoplight, you can. We physical therapists can show you some exercises to do. You can do some tummy tucks or exercises that would contract and relax certain muscles. The person sitting in the car next to you does have to know you're doing that. our lifestyles today are so filled with activities or commitments.
Busyness.
Busyness. And, you know, one of the things that we see in physical therapy today, the most common injury or the newest one, is called BlackBerry thumb from people texting. our lifestyle changes. I can remember when in our office I didn't think we needed a fax machine. I said, that's just a fad. It'll never catch on. But, technology changes. I want to stay at least aware of what needs to be done. I'm not necessarily somebody that advocates that you need to pick up every new device. But I think all of us want to stay, regardless of our age, knowledgeable about what's going on and interested in it.
That's great. That's great advice. Ron, how can our listeners reach you, reach Back School of Atlanta? Give us your contact information.
Well, perhaps the easiest way to reach the Back School of Atlanta is through our website, which is just www.backschoolofatlanta.com, all one word. We do, in addition to ergonomics for individuals, we work with companies around the nation. We teach continuing education to other physical and occupational therapists and safety professionals. We even provide some of the ergonomic products, ones that we recommend. One of the things I mentioned earlier was a pillow. A physical therapist that I know invented an inflatable pillow that you can use in your chair depending upon the amount of support that you need, or if you want to change the positions, you can let some air out of it. If you can't afford to buy a pillow from us, now's a good time to go buy beach balls at Walmart. They're marked down and just underinflate it. Or if all else fails, you know, go back to that bubble wrap. Maybe you can get somebody to give you that for your backrest. But, you know, take care of yourself.
Is there a phone number for Back School of Atlanta?
There is. We have a toll-free number. It's 800-783-7536. And here in the Atlanta area, local number 404-355-7756.
Ron, that's great. We thank you for being on our show.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Christine, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sam.
That's it for today. We once again thank our guest in Dallas as well as our guest here in Atlanta. We thank our listeners for tuning in, and we want to remind them that if they'd like to listen to a broadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors are its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.